Praise God. It's good to be here. You can be seated if you like. A beautiful life. Life can be beautiful. Amen. If you'll take Jesus with you. Praise God. Now I want to say again, I say this often in the service because I mean it. I'm glad to see you here tonight. Appreciate you being in the house of God. I appreciate Frank and the wife being with us. I wish they'd come more often, but we appreciate them. I know they live a little farther away. The trim man over here on a job where we've been painting a house for Floyd lives up in the areas where Frank and Dale lives. Young fella and his wife and a couple of children, and he said perhaps he might know Frank, and he himself is planning to start coming down here being with us. He said, I'm definitely coming. Invited somebody on the job and talked to him about Jesus. I felt to do it. And he said, I'm coming. And I believe he will come. Hallelujah. Maybe you misunderstood a while ago when I spoke of speaking soft. The Bible said a soft answer turneth away wrath. There's a time for a soft answer. And I think people ought to talk soft and kind. But I'm speaking a feminine thing, you know. I see men that get feminine, and I don't guess there's anything in the world that ever gets a hold of me anymore and grieves me is for a man to start talking to my wife and start cooing, you know. And something about that I just don't like. If he'll just take a few minutes, he can tell I don't like it. You know, this feminine thing where I like for a man, if he speaks to my wife, speak to her like a man. Amen. If he speaks to me, speak to me like a man. Don't come around with, you know what I'm talking about. And the Bible teaches you can go to the king's house, meet with the king, but don't mess with none of his ways. Don't partake of his dainties, you know. And you know the modern way, they hold a cigarette and all this kind of junk that they got. And it is junk. And I never could stand it. You know, a man, he talked to a woman and he talks so easy and so sweet and kind. And after a while, it's a seducing devil is what it is, an evil spirit. And it's got her spirit because women just eat that kind of thing up. That's right. I could go around here talking sweet to the women. They just eat that kind of thing up, you know. Because usually when their husband speaks to them, he don't speak like that. And I've noticed some of them that speaks to your wife like that don't speak to their wife like that. Amen. You can say amen or old me. It's okay. Amen. Praise God. So I like to be what I am. Now I like for people to be courteous to me and my wife. I want to be courteous to you. But I just like to see a man be a man, Dad, and a woman be a woman. That's the thing that God's going to burn this world for, Brother Tom, is this perversion. These sissy men running around here with their long hair down on their shoulders and look like some girl, you know. I just better shut up and not say no more about that. The more I think about that, the more I want to say, and I didn't come here to say that tonight. But I praise God for his wonderful blessings.
Hallelujah.
And I just thank the Lord for his kindness. Now, I had a little thought or two on my mind tonight that I wanted to bring out if I could. And sometimes I like to switch around, you know, and have different ones to sing and leave singing. I get tired of hearing myself all the time. That's why I get somebody else to preach. Amen. Get tired of hearing the same one sing all the time like you hear somebody else sing. I appreciate the Lord. I just thank God for the blessings of the Lord. And I thought if I could tonight, I wanted to get Frank to work with me a little bit and read a scripture too for me. I kind of spared him from the singing tonight so I could use him a little different. Sometimes he works with me in this thing, and he's a lot of help to me. I praise God tonight because he has so wonderfully brought us over the great financial barrier that we've been facing for a long time. But he wonderfully brought us over it. And I trust that everybody will keep pushing. I don't want to hurt you when I'm talking or say the wrong thing. I want to encourage you in the Lord. And I want you to go on. But I want my men to be men. And I want my women to be ladies, you know. And I don't want silly women. Now, you might say, well, Brother Pike, women are not silly. Well, Paul spoke of some silly women. He said, silly women, you know, just giggle about everything. And and ain't worth a dime for nothing, and wouldn't live for God. You couldn't give them $1 million and get them to live for God. And the Bible said they're so delicate they wouldn't adventure to set the sole of their foot on the ground. Silly women, you know. And a lot of men are responsible. Can I say that? I said a lot of men are responsible for making them silly. Amen. For babying them so much, making them silly. Amen. I like the old frontier women, Brother Jim. The old frontier women. It was rugged mothers. I can remember Betty's mother. When I married into the family, left for Betty to be the kind of mother she was, you know. I don't believe she's got this what her mama had. And I don't think I got this what my daddy's got. But I used to see her, she'd go out and she'd chop wood. Go out and chop wood. Now, of course, I think that's the man's job. But she'd go out and chop wood and had an old wood stove. And she'd cook a meal. She'd start cooking in the morning. She'd get through at night. And she'd go to bed. Get up and start in the morning, get through at night, you know, between cooking and cleaning up the house and washing the pots and the pans and boiling the clothes and what have you. She had a full day's job. And consequently, she never got around to doing too much gossiping. She had a visitor to come, you know, and even till today, she don't get around to doing too much gossiping. She's not a Christian. Well, I say she's not a Christian. I guess she loves the Lord. I couldn't say that. She used to want to be a Christian. But she's just a fine old lady, and I appreciate it. She never was a silly, you know. I know her. Some of the children, when they come along, they tried to make her silly. They want her to bob her hair off and wear mini skirts, and I think she's about got over that silly sort of thing that they tried to get her to do. And I appreciate women that's not, you know, that don't follow the little sissy girls that want to go half naked and that kind of thing. I appreciate women that's got enough backbone to say, you silly little old gal, you need to get something on and stop acting like a 2-year-old. Amen. I believe that. Amen. The Bible said wisdom's with the ancient. Just called to get a college education, to go to school, to learn to... You know, I made a statement the other day. I ain't got no use for education. I'll just be honest with you. There ain't no need of me getting behind the tree. I just ain't got no use for it. He ain't done nothing but wreck the earth. That's all he's ever done. They take our children and they put them in school, and what do they teach them? To play basketball. And they ain't got a bit of business doing it. I know little kids can get out and play basketball. I'm not talking about little kids that shoot marble and play basketball, but I'm talking about grown-up men. And they teach them that they ought to get out there in shorts. The boys get over here in shorts. Grown men, the grown ladies, they get over here in a striptease act. That's right. That's what it is. Amen. And run them out of the country years ago if a woman had got like that. They wouldn't have had her in the community. I think they ought to be the same thing today. That's right. God used to stone them to death. Used to stone them to death. Amen. That's right. That's right. You say, Brother Pike, you believe in the law? I believe in Jesus. Amen. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He ain't changed. He feels the same way he did under the law. He ain't changed a bit. He just give us some grace to get ourselves straightened out. When that judgment comes back in, you're going to find out he's going to judge you by the law. Amen, that's right. Everyone without grace is going to be judged by the law. You say, but Brother Pike, what if you got grace? You'll be living right. Amen. I said, you'll obey the law. Praise God. The law's made for the lawless. So then what do? It's been the trouble all the time. What are they hatching off? Cockatrice, the Bible said. Amen. That's right. They weave the spider web, the Bible said. Amen. That's exactly what it is. So we got beetles, and beatniks, and long hairs, and Athens is just full of it. That's a college over there, and it's got more around there, looks like. You don't find near as many around Monroe as you do around Athens. See, because that's the hatch-off center over there. That's where the nest is. It started in the garden with the tree of knowledge, and it's been passed on down. They hatch them all. They make men silly. Education makes men silly. Of course, I know a few of our men here's got some education. They're not silly because they got God. But education makes men silly. They go around in a silly sort of a way, doing silly things, and it makes them feminish. They just get plumb silly and wouldn't do a day's work for nothing. Too lazy to do anything. That's right. Afraid they'll pull a blister on their hand. That's right. And what do they teach them anyway? They teach them to play basketball and go naked. That's right. They teach sister to get out there and go rah, 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 rah. And she turns a flip over, over, and over. like some crazy something, you know. And she gets back up and she hollers, rah, 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 rah. I'm telling you the truth. This is the truth, so help me. I picked up some woman the other night running around in the middle of the night. Ought to have been at home. But I picked her up, me and my wife, I picked her up to give her a lift. Didn't know where she's going. And we got acquainted with her, and she says she's coming out here, and I hope she does. And she invited us up to see her. But she looked at my little Gracie, and she said, don't you want to go with my daughter up to the school? So she hollered, rah, 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 rah. I said, no, I can't do without Grace. I need her at home. She wanted my daughter to go over and get in on that. But that's what education teaches them to do. And people are supposed to be smart. It's no wonder they think I'm so dumb. That's right. I'm supposed to be understanding. The Bible said, confessing themselves to be wise, God made them fools. Because they love not the truth, God turned them over to a reprobate mind, which is education, to believe a lie and be damned. That's right, folks. That's exactly what it is. So I told you here the other night, up here where we was working, I looked out here, and here's a mama out here in shorts jumping jump rope. And here, Daddy, when mama got through with her time, Daddy, he had on his shorts, and he started jumping jump rope. That's right. The Bible said God would give babes to rule over them. Look at the young folks ruling over them. Look at the young people going into office. That's not right. Those young men ain't got no business in office. The Bible said wisdom is with the ancient. They don't need to be in office. You say, but they're educated, but they don't have the experience. We don't need education. We need experience. The Bible said patience worketh experience. That's what we need is some experience. We had men like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and some of them that know how to saw a log and had some kind of experience. We had a nation. They taught men to be men and not a bunch of silly something. That's right. They didn't have a bunch of education. You say, but they're rich. Prayer. Mother and daddy's prayer and living for God has brought them blessings and wealth, and the boys and girls come in and got a hold of it, and mom and daddy sent them to school, and they turned out to be a philosopher, you know. And they got what God blessed mom and daddy with, and everybody thinks, well, they're the ones that got it by their education. And that's not right at all. So what does school teach them? As I say, to go rah-rah and to turn flips, to go naked. I'm telling you what education does to you. You can look at it any way you want to. Teaches them to play tennis ball, softball, volleyball, football, to join the Elks Club and be called a moose or a bear or a cub or whatever you call it. That's what education does for you. Silly social clubs. That's what it is. And if you're not interested in that, well, they teach you to put on tights and jump fences or hurdles or whatever it is. I ain't educated enough to even know what they call it. But anyway, they got it. What they call it? Anyway, that's what they do. They got grown, long-legged men, you know, out there that can run like a horse, and they'll set up about a half a dozen sawhorses like a carpenter uses, and over and over and over and you go. And everybody just screams and hollers like a bunch of wild animals. That's right. And even if you can't do that, if you don't like that, well, they got the high jumper. That's right. You've seen them. They get on a pole and they fly over like a bird. That's right. And somebody said, now, if you're a good high jumper, if you're a good runner, if you're a good football man, well, I can get you out of the classes. Don't worry about that. So when you graduate, that's what you are. You're a high jumper, a football player, a baseball fan, or whatever you are. That's what you are. And that's your education. Now, if you don't like all that, they got something else that's real outstanding. If you want to be a doctor or dentist, they teach you to play golf. That's about the silliest game of all. They knock a ball, as you know, about a half a mile, and they started it to get exercise because it was too lazy to work and it was dying. Amen. And then they got so lazy they got the little carts to ride on to go to where the ball is. So they're still dying. That's education. I'm glad I'm just what I am, ain't you? That's just a few of the things they teach you. They got a lot of other things. I used to get so weary from the bottom of my heart. In the morning, you know, mother will say, get them young'uns off to school. Get them young'uns off to school. And I used to think, well, why do you want to get the little kid out so early in the morning and he's half froze? Damn it, you wouldn't even go out there and stand for nothing. And here he stands out here with just hands freezing to death. I've seen a little bitty fella stand out there and shake. And when mama, she gets him out, pushed him out in the cold, you know, she goes back to bed or she goes and gets her cup of coffee. She's there until the neighbor comes over and then they start in a gossip. And I walked in on him sometimes, you know. I always didn't feel right about it. And I walked in and she'd say, you know, I wish that little boy would stay in school. I just can't do the things I want to do. I just can't go nowhere. It looks like he would stay in school. He wants to stay out today. I just want to get these young'uns off to school. They just get on my nerves. You see, I told a lot of times, I say, well, Mom, what's wrong with keeping the kids out today? Well, you don't have to look at them. And so then I finally put two and two together, and I come up with one thing. A mother don't want a responsibility. She's got a bunch of silly teachers down there that's become babysitters. And the teachers have finally got wise enough to know that the mother has made a bunch of fools out of them. So instead, they're making a bunch of fools out of the people, and they've got them a television set. So while they frolic with the principal, they let the kiddies watch television, and then they collect from mom and daddy on the weekend. That's right, folks. That's right. And one teacher made the statement that he had to quit school, said it done got so low down and indecent, said he couldn't look at the young ladies no more. He just had to get out of there. Said it was just downright filthy. That's education for you. That's why the world's in the mess it's in and in the slop hole it's in today. I tell you, this is what we need right here. The Bible said all of them that are born of God are of a good understanding. This is what we need, a good understanding. Praise the Lord. So then that's the way I feel about it. And you say, well, Brother Pike, don't you believe in good common sense? I sure do, but I don't believe it comes from education. I've seen educated people. Junior, my brother, told me, you know, Junior ain't got no education. But he told me here a while back when he was obeying God and God was blessing him. The Bible said God puts up one and puts down another and God raises up kings and God holds the king's heart and in his hand turns it whithersoever he will like the rivers of waters. And God maketh rich and had no sorrow and all these other things. But Junior told me, he acted like he was afraid to tell me. One morning I was talking to him. He said, Brother, I just got to say this. He said, some educated people are the silliest people I've ever seen in my life. He said, I go to talk to them and they can do some of the silliest things. Well, that's right. Now then. But when a man's got God, he's not silly. Educated or not educated, he's not silly. That's right. Paul said it's good for one thing, that's dumb. Amen, that's what he called it. Education, he said, good for one thing, that's dumb. So I'm determined not to know nothing among you but Christ and him crucified. Amen, so that's what we need to know is Christ and him crucified. Don't need to know anything else but him crucified. So I praise God tonight for you, and I praise God for them that love the Lord. That's the kind of world we're living in. It's the kind of world we're living in. Satan has made a man silly like a woman and made a woman masculine like a man. That's right. See them running up down the road with a cigarette hanging out the corner of their mouth, you know, and cursing and snorting. And the man, him walking around saying, yes, dear, yes, dear. That's right. That's right. I know a man that I can remember him so well, and I know Betty does. And his wife, everything she wanted, yes, dear, yes, dear. She spent his money. She kept him from going on with God, and she rode up and down the streets and went to different towns, and when she'd come home, it was, yes, dear, yes, dear. And one day he told me, I just got him off by himself and got some of that out of him long enough to talk with him like a man, and he said, well, he said, how can I do anything? I want to know what he was talking about. He said, well, my wife spends my money. So she causes me to remodel the home. Everything has to be just so. Said, what time have I got for God? What can I do? And then she'll tell me how to serve God. Because he just said, yes, dear. That's all he could say. But I believe with all my heart that we need to get back to the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I believe that. Praise God. I believe we ought to get back to the Word of God and do the thing that's right. And I believe that when we do, that God will bless us. Hallelujah. The world is in a terrible mess. We wouldn't have the heartaches. We wouldn't need the hospitals. We wouldn't need all of these other things if we was right with God. Amen. That's right. Amen. You say, Brother Pike, do you really believe that from your heart? I believe that with all my heart. We wouldn't have it. If we had women like they had in the frontier days, they didn't have to work on jobs. They stayed at home. They had a good living, had a better living than some of our folks has got today. It wasn't little children crammed up in the city for some car to run them down so a mother could collect the insurance. I have actually noticed in the cities, I've noticed this, that some of the mothers don't care if the little children get killed, if they can collect the insurance. Now you say, well, why don't they? Because a lot of times they don't even belong to the mother. Daddies don't care where he makes them a living or not. Because that's about the third or fourth wife he's had anyway. It's some other man's children. He ain't got no feelings for them. If one of them gets killed, he says, well, that's bad. And little Johnny got killed. They collect the insurance, and that's all there is to it. The heartaches is all gone. Now, am I telling the truth? Is this right? Where does it come from? Your own understanding, education, leading to your own understanding, not trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Where has education brought us to? Atom bombs, wars. That's right. Sorrows and heartaches about to blow ourselves apart and don't know what to do. That's education. That's the end of it right there. Amen. I believe we need God. I've always believed we need God, and I still believe we need God. I praise God that I didn't get an education. I thank God for that. Amen. When I was a boy, I used to worry about an education. I wanted an education, and God had stopped me every time I got started. But since I've been grown, I said, God, I'm so thankful that I didn't wreck my brain and wear out my nerves and my eyes and my body trying to get that stuff crammed into my head to where I wouldn't be fit for nothing when you got ready to use me. Amen. Now, it just wears you out, kills you out, and you ain't good for nothing. Little children have to put on glasses before they get so high, and it just kills them out and ruins their nerves, and they grow up too fast, and you make a mother out of them when they ain't big enough to hardly to be anything. But they done got a mature mind, you know, that old devil serpent mind, wanting to strip their clothes off, wanting fellowship with men, and women's the same way, little old bitty girls, little old bitty boys. That's what education did. Used to, they didn't let children know about certain things. Those were considered sacred before God. Amen. But that's the world for you. All right. I felt like saying this, so I said it. That's kind of that's how I feel about it, and I believe the world's in that kind of condition. Amen. Now then, I don't mean anything wrong with we got some men here that's highly educated. You say, why do you say they're highly educated? Because they've got enough sense to throw education away. Amen. That, to me, that's a high education. When a man gets high enough in school that he realizes he needs to throw all that stuff away and count his dung, as Paul said, he's highly educated. Because he's done been through the seminaries and the schools and everything else where they've got all that mess going, and then he's done come out of it and he can look back on it, see what a mess it was, and get rid of all of it and thank God that he knows about the mess so he can tell everybody else to stay out of it.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Like Brother Taylor said one time, he said, if I had a child, said he sure wouldn't go to college. I heard of another man that had so many years of college. He got out of college and took his wife and took his children and went and built him a place away from all of that. And wouldn't even let his wife go into town. Wouldn't let his children go to school. They didn't want that mess. Well, I praise God for his blessings, don't you? You say, well, you're kind of a strange fellow. Well, I guess I am. But that's how I'm put together. Praise the Lord. I'd rather, if you're going to marry a girl, get you an old country girl that don't know nothing about nothing, but just, that's right, just, she'll love you and she won't be after every other boy and she won't try to be one of these uptown ladies, you know, and want to look cute, and she'll just be an old country girl if you give her a hunk of cornbread and treat her right, and she'll wash your dishes and scrub the floors, and you got a real lady. You have trouble finding them now, even in the country. That's right. But it's what it used to be. It's what it used to be. Boy, when you married a woman, you had a wife, had a real lady. And a man would kid you in just a minute in the South about her, too. All you had to do was just speak one word. Dad, my dad right here remembers your case. And I don't mind taking a few minutes here to say this because I was planning to. If anybody's bored, you can get up and leave. Ain't nobody making you stay here. Amen. John spoke about not coming to the light because your deeds are evil. If you're bored, you can get up and leave. But I remember Daddy, man come into his house and started cursing and snorting and going on. And the man was bad about cutting. He'd cut people. And Dad swallowed it down till about midnight. The lump got too big. He couldn't swallow it no more. So he went in the kitchen and got him a chair. Man had his knife in his hand. Daddy told him, said, there's a bed. If you want to go to bed, so don't turn nobody out of my house. Said, but I'll tell you what, if you don't quit cursing, I'm going to knock you out of this house with this chair. And that man must have been a believer because he left. I'm not condoning Dad's wrong. He didn't have no business. I'm not saying he didn't have no business defending his house. Jesus took a whip. But there's another way to do it. I don't know just what it is, but there is a way to do it. That Daddy wasn't a Christian. That's the only way he knew to do it. So he offered the fellow a place to stay or told him to get out of the house. And I believe that. Folks used to then put up with that kind of stuff. Now then, I love you and I appreciate you. And I will take just a minute tonight. I really had something on my heart. I really could have preached to you about tonight, but I felt like saying these things. And I want to talk with you just a few minutes. Maybe the Lord wanted me just to exhort you and teach you a little. I felt like he did when I come in, but I just felt that thing, you know, preaching, like something on my heart really burned in my heart to preach to you. But it was something that he put on my heart, looked like, to teach you, and maybe that's why he just let me do it like this. So, Brother Taylor, if you'll come on, we'll take up a little time here tonight. Didn't take up quite as much time singing, and we'll get our brother here to read a scripture to, if he can find it for us. And if you want to help us tonight, how many of you like to help us find a scripture to? I didn't get these scriptures up today. I was praying and I didn't get them up. But I thought I'd talk with you a little bit. Most of you are pretty good Bible scholars. And I would like, first of all, to turn over into, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, where Paul is speaking of the woman. Keeping silence in the church. And then somebody go to Timothy and find where Paul is speaking of the woman there. And somebody go to the book of St. Luke, I believe it is, and find in the early chapters there where Anna the prophetess comes in and Simeon. Then, I'm not sure this works, man. Maybe in the book of Exodus where Miriam gets the timbrel, you can check it out over there if you want to get it and read it. And I want to have a little discussion concerning the women. I've been asked a lot of times questions about the women, and I've commented some on it. I don't think I've ever specifically spoke or taught on it. But I'd like to say a few things tonight concerning them. And a lot of times I'm asked the question, well, what do you think, Brother Pike? How do you feel? Or what do you believe? And a lot of times I just evade the issue because a lot of times people come to me for the purpose of using the scriptures to knock people down with and to put them under bondage and for all kind of reasons. I just kind of talk in a circle sometimes that they don't know what I believe and what I think about or what I'm trying to say. And I had a reason too, because I want to get some of our women under subjection. We've got women that really need to be under subjection. Some, it's not under subjection yet. As a matter of fact, I made the statement today to a brother that our women are fixing to get in trouble. We've had women a number of times to get in trouble. A lot of times it's the men that get out of sauce, and they get in trouble, and then the thing gets over on the women. And I notice as of late, it's getting over on the women. And over in Olive Branch, we had some of them to lose some children because of that. A number of them lost their children. And things are still happening because the women begin to gossip and get together and go from house to house saying things. Paul said, I would that the younger widows marry, stay at home, raise children, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some's turned aside after Satan already, being busybodies. Yeah, he called them busybodies. You can use terminology like that. He said busybodies going from house to house, speaking things they ain't got no business. That's right, you know, got to go to every house. Like Brother Bob told me the other day, you know, I don't know who's going down to his house, and I'm glad I don't know, so nobody can point a finger at him, but he said he sure wish he'd stay away from his house. That's right. Amen. I don't blame you, Bob. Some of them come up to my house, and they got in a little conference in there in the kitchen, and they was about to start taking people apart, and I told them right flat. I said, we ain't going to have no gossiping up here. This is not a place to come and gossip here. I said, you go somewhere else, you're going to do that. Amen. That's right. Don't give place to the devil. It's your place to stop it. I said, we ain't going to do that up here. And he said, you're welcome to come and talk if you want to talk and visit like a lady. But we ain't going to do that. And Bob said it caused him trouble when folks like that come around. Let evil spirits into his home, and it caused you trouble too. And he wished he'd stay at home. So I don't know who you are, but I hope you know who you are tonight. I'm sure you do. And you think over what I'm saying tonight. Paul said busybodies, going from house to house, tattling, saying things they ain't got no business saying. Having damnation, he said, because it cast off their first faith, wherewith they learned to be idle. So we've got people like this. But I hope that we don't have any like that here. And I trust that if we have any kind of spirits like that is trying to get on our ladies, that they'll stop that and won't do it. Now, I know we got one other thing that started working here lately. We have to get to these things occasionally. And one of those things is that the women are putting the men in a vice. Every now and then they put them in a vice, you know, about giving. In other words, they pitch up on them, Dad. And they let them know how much they can give and how much they can't and when to start and when to stop. But the man's supposed to be the head of the house. Amen. If you lose everything you've got, the man's still supposed to be the head of the house. And they pinch up on him. But now in this particular case, I think they've let up on that. Because if they hadn't, well, I mean, they're giving anyway. But I think our ladies have done real good on that. Most of the men are pledging and giving and sharing. Some of them are not, but most of them are giving and sharing. And then, of course, I think, really, that they're doing pretty good. But the thing that they're getting the men in the vice with is that they don't want them to go anywhere. They start out the door and they say, where are you going? Start down at the hog pen, where are you going? Anywhere you go, I don't know where you're going. Say going all the time. Amen. That's right. They start. The man can't step out of the house. He can't do nothing. He can't go nowhere. They get him in that little prison of their intellectual reasoning up here. Always doing something for somebody else. Don't never do nothing at home. That's exactly the way you talk, lady. That's right. Always got time for somebody else. They ain't got no time for me. Console everybody. Don't never console me. Gone all the time, don't never stay at home. That's right. Now that ought not to be. That ought not to be. Now a woman's got a right to want to know where her husband's going. That's good. And most of them will take that right. And just as quick as you look for them, they don't tell you nothing. They just go where they want to when they get ready. And if you say anything about it, well, they don't like it. They wear what they want to. If you say anything about it, you're just a cruel, hard fella. Never satisfied with anything. That's just the way it is. Now, you got a right, lady, to want to know where your husband's going. That's all right. You got a right to ask him a few things. But you got no right to tell him to do anything. He's the head of the house. No biblical right to do that. None at all. And if you do it, you're not going to make the rapture. You say, I believe I will. I can't help what you believe. I'm telling you what the Bible says. You're not going to make the rapture doing that. Your husband is the head of the house. He's to make the rules and the decisions. And you're to honor and obey him and reverence him. That's thus saith the word of the Lord. Now, if you want to know where he's going, well, that's all right. If you look over and say, dear, where are you going? He said, well, I'm going such and such. I'll be back. Well, that's all right. Just want to know. That's all right. And if he gets to staying off too much, you can say, well, I'd like for you to stay home with me some. Don't you think you stay away from home too much? But let me tell you something. Some of these men are trying to do something for God. And you're not interfering with them. You're interfering with God. That's bad when you get to where you interfere with God. You're going to get in trouble when you start doing things like that. And you can trespass by getting on other people's spiritual property when you gossip. Did you know that? And when you take other people's rights away from them, you're spiritually trespassing and God will get you. You're driving on the wrong side of the road. And God will get you. Amen. You better get back on your side. That's what they got the law for. So you women, the Bible, and I say you men too, the Bible teaches jealousy is as cruel as the grave. It's as cruel as the grave. Just as cruel as the grave.
Amen.
And you say, well, are you jealous? Yeah, I'm jealous. I say, well, but you say it's as cruel as the grave. It is. Unless it's godly jealousy. Paul said to present your wife to you without spot, wrinkle, and blemish, just like the church, to God. That's godly jealousy. Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband.
Amen.
Amen. A wife's got a right to want to see a husband clean. He's got a right to want to see her clean. But now, I'm speaking of the kind of thing that puts you in a prison where you can't get out the door, you can't turn around, you can't do nothing. You're going to get in trouble. You ladies are going to get in trouble about that. Amen. You men will too if you have that kind of thing. But you ladies are going to get in trouble. And you just watch what I'm telling you. You'll know when it comes to pass that I told you the truth. All right, now, Brother Taylor, if you will, read the scripture. Now, I want you to listen real good. It ain't all that late. And I'm not going to take up all that much time. But the things I'm going to say you need, I'm just talking to you tonight. I know that in the Protestant age, we're used to people screaming at us. I think the Protestant age is the only one that ever done that. I don't read where they ever done it in the Jew age or in the Catholic age. But in the Protestant age, they made a show out of religion and we used to folks screaming at them. Jesus just simply taught them and they listened. But our people have been fashioned to a show and such things as that till they can't listen unless you holler at them or scream or jerk them by the arm or do something or something or another. Well, they just can't even keep their mind on you. Their mind wanders around like a little child. They ain't got enough control over self to even keep their mind on what you're saying. But Jesus just simply sat down and taught them, and they listened. They listened. I said, they listened. So I want to teach you just for a few minutes, if you'll listen. The Bible said, be easy to teach. It says, be quick to hear. Quick to hear. How many of you ever taught a child it was hard to teach? Not so much he couldn't learn anything, but he just wouldn't listen. He just couldn't concentrate. Didn't have no interest, you know. Amen. Now, the babies get a little upset. That's all right. Just don't pinch them. It's all right. All right, Brother Taylor, if you will. I want Brother Taylor to read this passage of Scripture here. We don't have two mics. We will perhaps in the building. But I want you to listen real close as he reads a little bit of Scripture here. Over in the 1 Corinthians, it's the 30th verse of the 14th chapter. Now I think I'll read, start a little bit above here. We'll start in the 21st verse. We're going to let Brother Taylor read down kind of slow, and I want you to listen real carefully, will you? Now, before we start this, we're not going to take long, but if you're not interested, well, you can leave. And I don't want to keep you here if you're not interested. I don't want to burden you with the Word of God or trying to tell you to go to heaven or do anything for you that might not be what you want. Now, so if you want to listen,
to what we're fixing to say, just talk to you for a few minutes about some things. Well, I would appreciate it if you would reverence the Word of God enough to listen and pay attention. Amen. And we spend about 8 weary hours on the job. 9 and 10 weary hours. 5 and 6 and 7 days a week to feed our bellies. And I know we can bear together for 30 or 40 minutes or hour or 2 hours. Now, some of you are not even paying any attention to me at all. How about looking at it this way, will you? Everybody look on me, Peter said. Look on me. That isn't asking too much. That's the Bible. You can't pay attention looking at where it is. Look up this way. All right, now, then, Brother Taylor, if you will, read the scripture here. Read it slow and clear. Let's everybody listen for a few minutes, please.
Beginning with the 21st verse. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by 2, or at the most by 3, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak 2 or 3, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church.
That's a star right there. Praise God. Now, we will read this other little bit. I should have let Frank read, should have let him go and read this. But it says, what came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, so if anybody tonight think you, if you have the idea that you are a preacher, or you're an authority on the Word of God, and you got some other way to answer this tonight, to tell the ladies what they're supposed to do, let you acknowledge one thing tonight, that this is God's Word and God's Spirit right here. Now, so then if you are a prophet, if you are spiritual, God will not speak through you anything other than His Word. Now, I brought out the other night, a lot of people try to get around the Word of God by saying, well, I know the Word of God says such and such, but what if God tells me? But this is the Spirit of God, this is the anointing, and he that God sendeth will speak God's Word. So God is not telling you anything else and send you any word to preach any other thing except the Word of God. Paul said, preach the Word, and this is the Word. Now, I didn't mean to get to preaching to you, but I just want to exhort you just a little bit. And now, I want you to especially notice here
that Paul is speaking of speaking in tongues, and then he's speaking of the prophecies here. He's speaking of prophecies, and he is speaking of a church order, a specific church order. Now you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by a specific church order? Paul is speaking of a specific church order. And you say, does the Bible really point that out here in the writings of Paul? It certainly does, because he said, when you come to church, when you come to church, he said, when you come to the house of God, he said, have a tongue, have a revelation. He said, have an interpretation. All right, to have some prophecy, Paul said. But let everything be done decently, he said.
Amen.
And have an order by which you do it. Let it be done in order. Let the prophet speak, Paul said. And let it be by one at a time. And just two or three at the most, he said. Let it be in a course, one at a time. And he said, let this be. Or let the others judge while they're speaking. So then, we have to speak one at a time as a prophet. And then the others have to judge to see whether it's the Word of God or not. You know, a lot of times we don't want people to judge what we have to say. You ever understand? I praise God for one thing. I don't mind anybody judging my preaching. I don't mind anybody judging what I have to say or what I prophesy, because if it isn't with the Word of God and I'm in a state of ignorance and haven't been able to recognize it, I want somebody to be bold enough to come in love and tell me, because I don't want to die and go to hell. And God will send me to hell just like he'll send you to hell. That's right. So then, I believe that we've got to try to do what God wants us to do. Amen. Now, mothers kind of help keep the babies quiet. Now, y'all can make some efforts, I know. When you get to wanting to go, you don't make no efforts to keep the babies quiet. Now then, it said here to let the woman keep silent in the church. It sets up a specific order of how the church should be run. And that is, if you have a tongue, then the Bible said to have an interpretation. You say, Brother Pike, why have you got to have an interpretation? Because if you don't have an interpretation, it is not in order.
Amen.
Paul said, let everything be done in order.
Amen.
Now then, what if I went to Mexico and I had preached to those people in my native tongue and had not had an interpreter to where they could understand what I was saying? What good would it have done? Paul said, what profit is it to the church? What benefit is it if you don't have somebody to interpret after you preach? What good is it? So then he said, let it be done in order. Otherwise, he said, people will say, you're mad. If I went down there and just jumped up on a platform and began to preach to them people in my native tongue, and they couldn't have understood, they said, well, that fellow's crazy. What's he doing? So then they think Pentecostal people is just as crazy, because they don't understand. So Paul said, let it be in order. If you got somebody up preaching, Brother John, and while they're preaching, somebody jumps up, and I've seen women, they're bad about doing this, while the preacher's preaching, jump up and say, yea, thus saith the Lord. And God ain't thus said nothing. That's right. Jump right up and create confusion, and right when the minister's trying to preach the Word of God, and start prophesying or speaking in tongues, and God ain't even in the arrangement.
Amen.
Because it's out of order and it's out of continuity with the Word.
Yeah.
It couldn't
Amen.
Be right.
Right. Amen.
God's not the author of confusion. The devil did it.
Amen.
A lot of us are afraid to call the devil the devil.
Amen.
I think sometimes the reason we're afraid, because we don't know which is the devil and which isn't the devil.
Amen.
Amen. But one thing we can remember, God's not the author of confusion, my friend. God is the author of peace. Peter said, you crucified the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace. So then, the order is to have a revelation. Now, we come together sometimes, and if I can get the people in the right frame of mind, get me in the right frame of mind, well, we have a revelation. But we don't have them too much, because, well, you're not in shape to be spoke to as spirituals. A lot of times my mind's not in shape to speak to you by revelation. But when I can get those things right, then we have a revelation. Paul said, have a tongue. It's all right to come together and speak in tongues. I think some of us must think we're a bunch of Methodist folks or something, yeah. Baptist folks or something. Of course, Methodists and Baptists used to speak in tongues until the Spirit of God left them.
Amen.
That's right. Pentecostal people used to speak in tongues until the Spirit of God left them. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. And then the non-denominational time used to speak in tongues until the Spirit left them.
Amen.
But when the anointing left, they all got into a form and ritual.
That's right.
A form of godliness denying the Holy Ghost thereof from such turn away. So then Paul said we've got to have an order of things, folks. An order. Now, you've heard me preach against all of this thing like they did. Some of them did over in Olive Branch and Macon and California and different places I've been. I preached against it. Why? I wasn't preaching against the Spirit of God. I wasn't speaking against the things that God wanted. But I was speaking against that which was causing confusion and condoning evil. When the women would get up and shout and the dresses would go half over the head and the men would stand there in lust and start off shouting, they wasn't shouting for the Spirit of God. They're shouting because their lustful devils got stirred up within them, lusting after the women. Women inspire men. That's right. I could turn two or three women loose up here and get them to shouting and hollering and going on and indecent. And unless you really got God, every one of you will get inspired, but it won't be by God.
Amen.
And you'll just have, well, you can call it whatever kind of meeting you want to call it, but it ain't God, I'll tell you that.
Amen.
And of course, just like some of that over yonder in Olive Branch proved out to be, it wasn't God. Some of the men out there playing hands with the women, when I said something about it, they said they're my cousins, they're my sisters. Well, look like you'd have more respect for your sisters.
Right, amen.
Cousins and to be playing hands with them.
Amen.
Amen. I told them I didn't care what relative it was. I wanted them to quit playing hands and go home, not come to my services. Of course, that cuts the crowd down a little bit. Now, but anyway, you see what happened over there. Some of them had shouted. You see where they shouted off. They shouted off into a motel somewhere.
Right.
And then it showed up.
Right.
Amen. That's the way it was, just like it is.
Right.
Black's black and white's white.
Amen.
Now, the Bible teaches there is an order. I believe, now this might not sit right with some of you. I know you say, well, I believe you believe, you don't know what I believe. Some of you don't never listen enough to know what I believe. I believe that a woman can shout.
Praise God.
The way I preach, you'd think I felt like a woman could never do nothing. And some of them ain't got no business doing nothing. There ain't no condition to do it. Most of them it's shouting and speaking in tongues and the other things they're supposed to be speaking in tongues. These kind, a lot of them ain't in no shape to be doing those things.
Right.
You say, well, why do they do them? I don't know. I don't know. You say, well, if they ain't no shape to speak in tongues, then why are they speaking tongues? A lot of them ain't speaking in tongues.
That's right.
Now then, you say, well, why do you believe it's not God, Brother Pike? Because it causes confusion. It causes men and women to separate. Caused homes to be wrecked. It caused churches to be tore up. And you tell me that's God? We're here to promote the kingdom of God, children. We're here to lift up Christ and to do away with evil. Somebody said, do you believe that the devil will come right in the church? He's here tonight. You haven't seen him? I said he's here tonight. Some of you that's got him all over you, you'll say amen. You got to say it because you know you're the one who brought him here. Now then, in order, I believe a woman can shout. The Bible said to praise him in the dance. Is that Bible?
Amen.
To praise him in the dance. You say, but that's Old Testament teaching, Brother Pike. I know it's Old Testament teaching. But God was an Old Testament God. Did you know that?
Amen.
Amen. You say, but he's changed. But the Bible said he didn't change.
Right.
Said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And he said, praise him in the dance back then. I want you to praise him in the dance today.
Oh,
hallelujah. David danced before the Ark of the Covenant with all his might. His wife mocked him for it. Yeah, he show off. That's what it was. In other words, she could have said, you got about 50 wives and you're trying to get another one. After dancing in front of them women. That's the way it was. That was Saul's daughter. That was Saul's daughter.
Michael, but he put her away. He never had no more fellowship with her. Now, that's what God's going to do to some of these uptown churches, you know. Don't believe in shouting. Don't believe in praising God. Don't believe in anything. Now, folks, listen. You got to get the church away from something to give them something. You got to get them away from the false before you never give them the good. Well, you just say, just throw the seed out there and leave all the weeds out there too. I think you need to cultivate the ground and then put the seed out there. If you throw the seed out there with the weeds, it's going to choke the life out. It ain't going to be any good. Now somebody said, well, let the tires grow with it. If there happen to be any tires come up after that you plowed the ground and cleaned the ground, then get all of them out that you can. But if you see you're going to ruin your wheat, well, just let that one grow on. And then when you cut down the wheat, you can separate it. You can separate it. Now, I believe in decency, and I believe in order. And I believe that we ought to speak in tongues. I believe that with my heart. But I believe there ought to be an interpreter. An interpreter. I believe it ought to do some good. I believe our people ought to be spiritual enough to speak in tongues. Some of you don't pray and fast and read the Bible enough to be spiritual enough to where God can speak through you. Now, I believe in praising God in the dance. You say, well, do you believe in the men praising God in the dance? The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise God. And the Bible said, praise God in the dance. You praise God in the dance. That's praising God. Everything that hath breath, let him praise God. Now, when I say that, I still say, I'm not talking about some woman that lives a half-hearted life. It's got such a lust devil, she can't stay on a seat when she comes to church, and she's got to get out there in front of somebody and show herself. I'm not talking about that, and I know we've got that kind of thing, folks, in the world. I'm not speaking of that. Some little wild teenager that some woman is nudged and some man's nudged until every time she comes in, she bounces up and down like a rubber ball to get everybody's attention, and Satan does it to keep her dancing and frolicking. Like that girl that danced in front of Herod, to keep the word of God from coming forth and to keep the Spirit of God out. As long as you keep a woman doing that, well, that's all he wants. I've had that to happen in my services when devils was with them people, and later they come and confess that devils had them. Now, and I pointed out in the service. Now, so then you say, Brother Pike, what are you trying to say? I believe a woman has a place in the house of God, my brother. I believe she has a right in the house of God. I believe that. But I don't believe in evil, in hypocrisy, in confusion. I believe she can praise God in the dance. Now, you say, well, what do you believe about where it said, let a woman keep silence? I believe it just like the Bible said it. The Bible said, if you break one of the least of these commandments and teach men so, ye shall be called the least in the kingdom of God. I know that people are so quick to say, thus saith the Lord. So quick to say, God showed me such and such. God told me this and God told me that. And the Bible said, they say, God said, howbeit when I have not spoken. Said, and the prophet it prophesies presumptuously shall die. That prophet shall die, Jesus said. God's very touchy about his word. Now don't alter it. Don't change it. Don't add to it. Don't take away. Some of you ladies, when you're talking to your sisters out there and gossiping, and you'll bring up the word of God for your defense, God's going to set your fields on fire for trying to defend the devil. When you want to get your husband under a vice, you'll bring up the word of God. Want to get your wife under a vice, you'll bring up the word of God. That's a devil. Trying to kill Jesus with the word of God. That's what Satan did. Alright? Now, it said let the women keep silent in the churches. It's not permitted for them to speak. The Bible said let the prophet speak. Let the prophet speak one at a time. The others judge it and see if it's the word of the Lord. All the people say, well, what do you think prophesying is? I've had that question asked me. Somebody said, well, you prophesy, you just foretell something. No, that's wrong. Whoever told you that, that's wrong. Somebody said, well, now when you prophesy, it means you tell the future. No, that's wrong. That's not all there is to prophecy. Sometimes you speak of the past. The Bible said,
A good man bringeth out of his treasures, old and new. He might bring something out of the past. He might bring something out of the present. He might bring something out of the future. And you say, I don't believe that, Brother Pine. Well, it's so anyway. Now, I might prophesy something for the future. But now, the Bible said when the Holy Ghost come upon Zacharias, it came upon him, the same Holy Ghost that come upon the prophets in the Old Testament. And I know a lot of folks don't believe that the prophets had the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament, you know. They don't believe the Holy Ghost lived back there in them days. But it was the same Holy Ghost. The Bible said David speaking by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible said. Prophesied that Judas was the devil. Alright, now when Zacharias spoke by the Holy Ghost under the law, prophesied concerning his son John when his mouth was open after he'd been dumb because God didn't like it because he doubted the angel. And the Lord was wanting to give a sign too. The Bible said he spoke of the consolation of Israel. And there's no place where he prophesied anything concerning the future as far as telling some great event. He just spoke concerning this child that was to be born. That's all. Just like I'd get up and say, yea, thus saith the Lord. God bless you, my brother. God loves you. God's going to bless you. God's going to lead you. God's going to help you. I could be prophesying. I could do it. That's right. That's inspirational utterance. Now, I believe that we can do that. You believe we can do it? Hallelujah. People get things mixed up. Did you know that? Where about 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and every how many they had there, spoke in tongues. The first thing the people, everybody spoke in tongues. The Bible don't take, it doesn't say that. It said they spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Who spake with other tongues? I don't know who it was. Somebody said everybody. It didn't say that. It said they, whoever they were. It could have been Peter, it could have been two, it could have been three, it could have been five. But what the Bible emphasized was that nobody didn't do it except the Spirit gave utterance. That's where the tongue came. And they spake with tongues. The Spirit gave them the utterance. I don't know who he gave the utterance to. Somebody said, well, there's some women up there. And they justify women, you know. Say some women was up there. The Bible don't say a thing about that. It does speak of the women being in the upper room. But it said these men are drunk. I knew why. It didn't say about the ladies. So I said, well, they were speaking in tongues too. Well, didn't say nothing about the ladies. You said, don't you believe in speaking tongues? I didn't see that. We're just trying to get something straight. Paul here in his writings, he emphasizes this. He said, as also saith the law, let them keep silent in the churches. He said the same teachings was back under the law. That we didn't come to change the law. Jesus said not one jot or tittle be done away with it. Amen. So all be fulfilled. So we came to fulfill the law, my brother and sister, not to break it, not to alter it or change it, but to fulfill it for the pleasure of Christ. If we fulfill the laws of today, then we're not guilty of transgression of the law and it can't put us in prison. But if we break the law, then we suffer the penalty of the law. Those that escape the law are those that fulfill the law, not those that neglect the law. So that's what God did. That's what he sent us for. Is to fulfill the law. Not that we can do it, but through Christ that strengthens us, we can do all things. Through Christ. Now, the woman was to keep silence in the church. Now, he pointed it out right here, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Now, did you notice that that passage of Scripture is right here where he speaks to the ladies? That's where he speaks about this confusion. He noted it come from Eve. As in all churches of the saints. Now he said God is the author of peace in all churches of the saints. That means this church right here too.
Amen.
God is the author of peace. I brought it out the other night. Where the Bible said the wisdom that cometh from God is first peaceable. A lot of times we have dreams and we get so mixed up in those dreams. We get so balled up in them. But my brother, if it's a dream from God, it'll be peaceable. The Bible said first peaceable and easily to be entreated. It's not something you have to strain at and struggle at and something that's going to cut somebody else all to pieces. And you can have a preacher that's been preaching to you 25 years and let some woman or man have a dream and that's it. They nailed him to the cross. Had confidence that in 25 years
but because they had some dream. And the Bible said dreams come from the multitude of business. They don't know where they got the dream. They ain't spiritual enough to interpret it or know where it come from, God or from the devil, from the multitude of business or what. They just want to get, that's it, they had a dream. Now, ain't that a poor way to live? Amen. To put your faith in any, you expect to make the rapture like that? I believe in dreams. We got a lot of folks, you know, they can dream all they want to about you, and they'll run from house to house with it. And just as quick as you have a dream about them, them old filthy dreamers. Yeah. Don't believe in dreams. All you do is talk about dreams. But I believe in dreams both ways.
Amen.
Both ways. Whether you like it or not, I still do. I believe in it. I believe if the shoe fits me, Tom, it'll fit you.
Amen.
I believe if it fits Tom, it'll fit me. Amen. You say, well, I might wear a different size. Well, the Bible said we'll all be like him.
Amen.
He just had one size. That was the gospel of preparation. Said, let your feet be shod with it. So it'll fit.
Amen.
It'll fit. Now he said, God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. Alright? Now what did it say? Let your women keep silence in the church. Let them keep silence. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Paul said it ain't changed since the days of the law. It's the same. It's just the same. But he said, let your women keep silent in the church. Now, why didn't he say, let the woman keep silent in the church? If you notice, it said here, let your women. Use it in the plural here. Why did he say, let the woman keep silent in the church? For it's not permitted unto her to speak. Because that wasn't what he meant. He wanted you to understand what he was talking about. Let your women, he said, keep silence in the church. Now notice the terminology of speech that he uses up here. Speaking. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. The terminology speak here. And you say, well, what is Paul talking about, Brother Pye? If he said, let your women keep silence in the churches. Somebody said, well, that means that they can't say a word. No, it doesn't mean that. Now then, if it means a woman can't say a word in the church, then every one of you is going to die and go to hell because that's all you do is talk in the church. I ain't got a woman that comes in here without saying a word before she gets out. That wasn't what he was speaking of. When he said, let the women keep silence in the churches. You say, well, he meant for them not to say nothing. All right, now, if that's true, and if he was talking about a natural building, let your women keep silence in the building that we call a church. If this is what Paul was speaking about, then Anna broke the law.
Amen.
In the book of Luke, she broke the law. And Paul says, it also saith the law, let your women keep silence. And if this is true, what you believe, then she was in violation of the law. And the Bible said she was 80 years old or better, had lived faithfully with a husband, obeyed God, departed not from the temple day nor night and served God with prayer and fasting. If a woman like that messed up, boy, you better quit. And I better quit too. And besides that, it said she was a prophetess. Now, prophetess are rare. Did you know that in the Old Testament? I tell you, you don't find where God ever used many women. That's right, brother. You don't find where he ever used many women. Prophetess was real rare because you had to be straight for God to use you. Deborah judged Israel one time, but she was straight. The Bible records that she was a straight woman, clean woman, upright woman. And it records also that Anna was of the same type. Now, say we got a woman in here 50 or 60 years old, you know, and some of these little 16 and 18 year old girls, you know, and little 25 year old girls and 30 year old girls and so forth. Well,
Old gray-haired woman, she done lived her days out. She's 60 years old. God ain't going to use her. Going to use me. But the Bible said she was over 80.
Amen.
But she was the one God was using. Amen. See, Dad's white hair. Old fella done lived his days out. God can't use him. But the Bible said Moses was 80 years old before God ever used him. Amen. That's right. Why, the priesthood didn't get started until about 30 years old. You had to have some sense before God would use you. Had to get away from that silly, boyish, girlish sort of thing. All right, now then, what did it mean, let your women keep silence in the churches? Now, I say again, if he was talking about a natural building, then what was Anna doing living in the temple? You don't think she sat back there all the time and never did say anything. Because the Bible said she prayed. To pray, you've got to speak.
Amen.
Not only that. Well, somebody said, well, what it means that you ain't supposed to talk when there's a man around. Why, of all the concepts people can get about the Scriptures, I don't know what a man thinks he is anyway. I don't know what he thinks. He must really think a lot of himself. He's got himself set up on a pinnacle and on a perch somewhere like he's some special kind of something. And of course they call a woman a garbage can. I've heard that. But it doesn't mean she can't speak in the presence of a man. That's not the Bible. The Bible said that Simeon spoke. This old man, Daddy, was old. But God used him and showed him a vision. That he would not see death until he saw the Lord Christ.
Amen.
And coming in at the time that Mary and Joseph brought this child, Jesus, into the sanctuary, he spoke of the consolation of Israel.
Amen.
And said, let me go to meet my Maker, for mine eyes have seen the glory of God.
Amen.
Did you know the Bible said, glorify the Word? Glorify the Word, the Bible said.
Amen.
And they glorified the Word. We preach the Word here, and some of you don't glorify. But that's Jesus.
Amen.
Alright, now. Here she is speaking. Anna comes in while Simeon is here. He just got through speaking. And lo and behold, in the presence of Joseph, in the presence of God Almighty, which is in this little babe, and in the presence of Mary, in the presence of Simeon, here the woman speaks what God put in her heart.
Amen.
Where is she at? She's in the temple speaking.
Amen.
You say, but that's under the law. Paul said, as also saith the law.
Amen.
Now, if it was... You understand what I'm trying to say? She would be breaking the law. Is that Bible? You say, how do you say she'd be breaking the law, Brother Plot? Because he said, let them keep silence in the churches. And here she are, she's in the temple. What is the church? It's the temple. And the Bible said, let her keep silent in the temple, in the churches. All the churches, he said.
Amen.
Now then, if that's what Paul was talking about, then Anna's in violation. And if Anna's in violation, she broke the law. And I'll tell you what, I can't understand God using a prophetess that's broke the law to speak of the consolation of Israel and to tell me about his son. His kingdom's divided, it won't stand if that's the case.
Amen.
Now, so that means we're mixed up somewhere on something. Now he said, as also saith the law, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. You say, Brother Pike, what is he saying? The emphasis, if you'll check it here, is placed on obedience. This is what he's speaking of. Folks, he's speaking of subjection. The very thing that I got through exhorting the women about just a little bit ago. Wives, be under subjection to your husband, for the law commands you to be under obedience to them.
Amen.
If you want to learn anything, ask your husband at home. He's the one that knows. He's the head respecting. Learn from your husband. A lot of you want to learn your husband. learn from your husband at home. For they are commanded to be under obedience. Let them be quiet, Paul said. Now the word speak here, what is he saying? He is saying that the women are not to talk in the church. That's exactly what he's saying. Because he didn't say, let your woman keep quiet. He said, let the women be silent. Let them keep quiet in the church. Don't let them be talking. How do you know, Brother Pike, that he meant talking? Because he said, if they want to know anything, let them ask their husband at home. Don't let them ask him in the church. Don't let be. We got some here, they're always nudging at the husband. Always nudging at the child. Or he's always nudging at her. But the Bible said, let them not be talking in the church. It's a shame for women to talk in the church, Paul said. They got no business doing that. When you come to church, I've told you a lot of times, to reverence the sanctuary of the Lord. Come in with thanksgiving and praise. It doesn't mean you can't speak. Anna spoke. If you can't speak, then you can't praise God. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath, he said, breath. Praise the Lord. It doesn't mean that a woman has to clam up like a clam because a man's sitting around and sit like some dunce on a stool or something over in the corner. She doesn't have to do that. But she should have enough respect for men because he represents God in the earth. A Christian man to be silent, not to interrupt him. To realize that what he's doing is God. Not to be protruding and come through the room and back through the room and flop down in a chair and sit there and he can't talk. But to have respect and reverence for him. Amen. If you want to get a woman around, just start talking about the serpent seed. And she's all ears. She's got to wash dishes or she's got to do something. She's got to be close enough around to hear what's going on. And some of the men, you've heard me say it, is so rotten on the inside that they can't have any other conversation unless they get that old devil of lust out in their conversation. Because that's where their minds are at, in the gutters. I don't care if your little daughter's sitting around. Sometimes I get so grieved, I just shut up and won't say nothing. Start talking about Canada or Africa or somewhere to get their minds off of it. They don't look like you won't use enough wisdom. Some men won't when you try to hint at them that your little daughter's sitting there, that you're getting out of line. I don't clam up on me now. All right, now. He said, let her be under obedience. Now, in other words, Paul said, teach the women to obey. Teach them to be under obedience. Somebody said, you think I'm going to be like a little child to my husband? You better be. The Bible said the minister must have his wife and children under subjection with all of gravity. How do you know what gravity is? Gravity, that's what holds us on the earth. That's what keeps a tree in its right place and a man in its right place and a woman in its right place and a child in its right place. Spiritual gravity. The Bible said have them under control with all gravity.
Amen.
Amen. Not just in the things they want to do or puff up. I know you're going to keep doing it. Somebody said, well, you can preach all you want to, preacher. But that's it. Now, I know all of that. But you're going to die and go to hell. You're going to miss the rapture. Now, you need not think that you're going to heaven. I know that you think God's going to let you by with it. But you're going to die and go to hell just as sure as I got this mic in my hand. You're going to miss the rapture. Watch and see if you don't do it. Because the Bible cannot be altered. The word can't be changed. It says, wives, reverence your husband. You call a preacher reverence because he demands respect for what he stands for. Not because he's a man. Peter said, Cornelius, get up. I'm a man just like you are. Cornelius had so much respect, the Bible said he worshipped Peter. And I'm sorry to say that we've got some wives that's better than the husbands. Some men are like silly women. They can't keep their minds on nothing. They're worse off than some women. It's no wonder wives don't go to them to ask them for advice. They figure they ain't got enough reason about it. Amen. If I had to live with some of you men out there, if you're going to lead me around, I'm afraid I'd I wouldn't rebel against you because the Bible said not to, but I think I'd go to God and I'd do a lot of praying that God is shaping you up. Maybe my wife's doing that for me. I hope she is. Amen. All right, now then. It said, let them keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to be talking in the church or to speak in the church. For it is a shame for women to talk in the church. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. You say, well, that means she can't say nothing. What about Anna? You think that was a shame for her to get up and say what she said? So then why do you use the word speak? Because that was the Hebrew terminology of that day. That was the way they used it in that fashion. That's why he said speak instead of talk. Look up above there and read it and see if you don't use it the same way as the other terminology. She can't be talking in the church. It's wrong for her to do that. When she comes in, she ought to come in with reverence and respect and sit down in the church and be quiet. Now, revelation-wise, that means a flesh. She ain't got nothing to say. Just sit and listen. That's the woman when the ministry is up, which is Christ. All right, now. And I don't mean a man, but I mean God within you. I've seen ministers just, as they say, rattle off and it wasn't nothing but the flesh. But it said to keep silence in the churches, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Now he says here, if anything be revealed to one that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. And Paul said, if one's already talking, one's already got a revelation, one's already got something, and then somebody else gets something, don't jump up and cause confusion, but let the other man have enough teaching that he'll be quiet when he finishes what he's got to say, and then let the other man take the floor. Let it be done unto edifying, Paul said. Folks, this is a serious thing that we're doing. Men in the early apostolic church fasted and prayed and preached the word and was full of the Holy Ghost and worked miracles. That's what we've got to come to. You say, Brother Pike, will we ever get to it? We absolutely will. Faith is real and it's simple. And it's not that far from us. The Bible said, thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. You say, but there's people that's fasted. Wherefore have we fasted and thou takest no knowledge? You still didn't do it according to the order of the Scripture. My brother, if we do things according to the order of the Scripture, and if God doesn't hear us, we might as well throw the Bible into the ocean, turn out to be an infidel, and tell everybody that there's nothing to God. Because if he doesn't answer when we're in continuity with the Scripture, there ain't nothing to God. You say, you're mighty bold. That's exactly right. Black's black and white's white. If you tell me something and you don't do it, you're a liar. Amen. If God told me something and wouldn't do it, he'd be a liar. Amen. You say, Brother Pike, you're talking about God. Jesus said, if I say I don't know the Father, then I'll be a liar like a human. That's right, like a human. God said he would be a liar if he lied. But he can't lie. He's a spirit of truth. Alright, so God isn't, he's not afraid for you to look on him like he is. He knows what he is. Now then, so the word is true. God is true. When we do what he commanded us to do, then say we're unfruitful. We've done what you told us. Done it the way you said it. I don't know about you, but I was trying to put a swing together out here one time. Wasn't going according to the blueprints. I had a mess. I done got so I'm about ready to scream. Brother John Jameson come out there and help me out with it. Now, that's what happens when we don't go according to the blueprints. We might get it together, but it's some more mess when we get it together. Amen. We got Sissy shouting like she's in a skating ring on ice with a mini skirt on. Yeah. Amen. We got Junior up there preaching like somebody told me about Brother Branham's little Joseph. That he come in the church with his striped breeches on and his long hair and was cursing in the church. And some of them went over and said, prophesy to us. Your daddy said you're the prophet. Remember the essence of it. Somebody said, now that was downright disgraceful. I got a feeling, and I might be wrong, because I'm a peculiar fella anyway, according to what some of them look at me, or the way they look at me. But I believe God was in it. You say you believe God's the author of confusion? No. I believe he has his way in the good and the evil.
Amen.
Because Joseph does seem to have the anointing on him as a prophet. I believe God let that immature mind walk into that church to show it was cursed because of what they'd done. And to show in that hippie condition that he stood in that it had gone down into Nazareth shame.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I believe it. He let prophets eat dung in the Old Testament. What if he told you today, say, now I want you to fix up a good supper of dung tonight. That's right, and invite five people over. You tell your husband that, and he called people down yonder to put you away. You try it and see if he don't. Even though I told you it was in the Bible, you try it one night and still see if he don't look at you funny. You understand what I mean? Told one fellow to strip his clothes off and go prophesy naked up and down the street. You do that and see what happens to you. Somebody say, my, you mean you'd really do that? Well, why not? Everybody else goes naked. Won't be so bad about a prophet going naked. At least he did it by the will of God. No, I'm not saying a prophet ought to go naked. I'm not saying it. I'm not preaching nakedness. Now, are you with me? God's word is true, my brother. It's true. It doesn't matter what he tells you. It's right. It's holy. And it's just. So whatever he wants me to do, I want to do it. So he says here, let the women keep silence in the churches. Let them keep silence in the churches. It's not permitted to them to talk. Don't let them be talking in the church. Can they praise God? Yes. That's what we're trying to do, is bring out some of the women's rights tonight. Do they have a right to praise God in the church? Yes, they do. They certainly have a right to praise God. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in a woman prophesying. Well, Philip had four daughters, and the Bible said they prophesied. Whether you believe it or not, they done it anyway.
Man, that's right.
Paul could have said, I don't believe in it. But that wouldn't have changed if they prophesied anyway. I can stand up here, John, I can say, well, I don't believe in women prophesying. But that don't change one thing, they're prophesying anyway.
Amen.
So what I say ain't got a thing to do with it. Just because I don't believe in it, I don't mean a thing. They're doing it anyway, Bob. They're prophesying anyway. And so, well, why are they doing that, Brother Potter? Because the Bible said in the last days, in the latter times, I, God, said, I will pour out of my spirit, he said, upon all flesh.
Amen.
A man shouldn't put himself up on a pinnacle somewhere as being something different. God's no respect to person. He pours out his spirit on all flesh, on women too. You say, well, why do you believe a woman has to be under subjection to him if God made her equal with Adam in the garden? Because she proved herself to be the weaker vessel. She proved she can't go without leadership. When she thinks she's right, she's still wrong. She has to have leadership. But now if she thinks she's right according to the Bible, if she'll go according to the Bible through her headship, she'll be all right. But usually when they try to read the Bible and go by themselves, they get it all messed up. Now he said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh in the last days. And your sons and your daughters, he said, shall prophesy. That don't mean you're supposed to go over here, some lady, and run over here and lay her head on Brother Taylor and say, thus saith the Lord, such a... I ain't talking about that. I ain't talking about some woman, married woman, supposed to get a man up out you and hem him up, you know, and she begins to indoctrinate him. I don't mean that either. God's not the author of confusion. That's wrong. The Bible said, let the women be shamefaced. God doesn't do those things. In the first place, he said, your sons and your daughters, they will prophesy, Jesus said.
Somebody said, well, I knew women was called to the ministry all the time. Where did you ever get that? What's prophesying got to do with the ministry? You say, well, the Bible said God called prophets. Well, what's prophets got to do with women prophesying? Do you feel like you're a prophet? Prophets mean men. He said, here, let the prophets speak one at a time. And let the women keep silent in the churches. But let the prophets speak, he said.
Praise God.
Now you say, well, I believe I'm a prophetess. Well, you might be. I ain't going to dispute with you over it. But the Bible don't speak of any of them. In the New Testament, after the law is gone, Anna was under the law, there is no place in the New Testament that speaks of prophetess. It speaks of prophets, but not prophetess. Now, you say, well, if you prophesy, don't that mean you're a prophetess? No, it certainly does not. God has placed in the church a fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and such gifts as prophesy, interpretation, discernment, and these many things in the church, like healing and so forth. He's placed them in the church. It's a gift in the church. And he said the Spirit of God would be poured out upon all flesh. And that this gift would work in the daughters, in the women, as well as in the men. No respect to person. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Well, this don't change it one bit. Somebody said, bless God, I won't have it that way. Well, if you can make him change it, you go tell him. That's right. Like I told an old judge one time when he got me up before the whole courtroom, I said, I don't think that's much of a law. He said, I don't make them, I just enforce them. The next thing I knowed, I heard a click. And I was on the inside looking out. That's right. You better believe I talked a little different to him next time. Now, if you don't believe in authority, you just go ahead. This fellow's got a key. I said, people don't have keys. The Bible said Peter had the keys of the kingdom.
That's right.
Jesus had him to death and hell. He's a fellow with a key. And the Bible speaks of the key of knowledge.
Amen.
Amen. There's powers and authorities that will deliver you to the judge and to the jail and put you in prison. And you'll go crazy just about it before you get out. Amen. You'll suffer like you never suffered in your life. You'll be glad to get out of prison. If you've ever suffered in prison, you'll know. You'll know. All right, now then. It said the women would prophesy. The Bible said they'd prophesy. Now, does it mean for the woman, and I'm going to close here in just a little while. Give me a little bit more time here. I want to clear this up real good. Does it mean that the woman has a right to start teaching the men and usurping authority and pushing away around in church and these kind of things? No, it doesn't. It certainly does not. Paul had women workers, good, holy, upright women workers that would have given their lives for Paul. Somebody said, well, he was single. That's why they was following him around. I don't think that was it. I don't think that was it. If they was, they sure did get disappointed because he never did get married. They loved God. I'm sure that some of the women had husbands that followed him around. The men loved him as well as the women loved him. Not him, but God. He said, salute my women workers in God. Good, holy women. He said, salute them. They were good, holy women, clean, upright women. But he said, there's one thing that I don't do. I don't suffer a woman to teach my men, nor to take authority over my men. My women workers, Paul said, are good. They help me out. He said, I got one of them over here. If she's got any business concerning the church, you help her with it. I know a lot of folks say, well, Sister Linda, what business you got with the books and Sister Betty? But Paul said, if they've got any business to be taken care of, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. He said, you help them with it.
Amen. That's right.
I know the Church of God says you can't, that means, when we keep silence, that means in the business. But that's not right. That's not Bible. It doesn't teach that. It teaches the contrary of it. Now then, they were good holy women, but Paul did not suffer them to have authority over his men, nor to teach his men. He said, ladies, you be shamefaced in the presence of those men. You shy away from those men. Don't be bold and protruding. Honor and obey, love, reverence, respect. You got to do it if you're going to make the rapture.
Amen.
Faith in the Word is what saves you. There ain't no salvation, my brother and sister, except faith in this Word. This is the Word.
Amen.
Preach the Word.
Amen.
He that God sends will tell you the Word. You've got to believe the Word if you're translated into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now, it said to let them women keep silence. And what does it say in the book of Timothy? We won't have time to read it tonight. But what did it say over in the book of Timothy? Let the woman learn in silence. Let her learn in silence, just exactly what Paul said in Corinthians. He's preaching another sermon. Let her learn in silence.
Amen.
Because she was deceived. The man wasn't deceived. I know we love to say, well, you can get in them up just like I can, somebody says. But why did God say to Paul, and Paul said to the people, that the man was not deceived?
Amen.
Adam was not deceived. Of course, that made him in worse shape than Eve, because he did it knowing better. But Eve really was deceived. She really thought it was all right. Adam knew better than that. That's why God punished him. Typical of Christ redeeming the church. The church innocent in the sense that they really didn't know. But now, brother, we do know. We do know. Are you following me? The man was not in the transgression, but the woman was in the transgression. Therefore, even to that day and even to this day, let her keep silent, Paul said, and let her learn in silence. For she was deceived, and the man was first formed, and then the woman. We say the Jew first, and then the Gentile, which he got the bride out of the Gentile. That denotes male or man with the Jews. Let the woman keep silence. Let the prophet speak. Now you say, Brother Pike, that means that she can't prophesy at all. Somebody's there in the church. God isn't talking about a building. The original rendering of the word church here is assembly.
Amen.
Let the women keep silence in the assemblies. That does away with the building altogether.
Right.
That agrees with Anna being in the temple, and it wasn't wrong.
Right.
In the assemblies. You say, what do you mean? I mean a specific church order.
Amen.
Paul is speaking of a specific church order. When you come together to have church or to worship in a Pacific church order, let the women keep silence.
Amen.
And you say, what does he mean? He means that she is not to address the audience.
Right.
That's exactly what he's speaking of. She is not to address the audience. Up above here it said, if a person speak in tongues, let them speak to themselves and to God.
Amen.
Not to the audience. Let that woman refrain from addressing the audience. That's right. If those prophets are in there and that's a specific church order, God will use the prophets in the prophesying. You say, well, what about the woman? He said, your sons and daughters would prophesy. Philip had four daughters, they prophesied. You might go down the street down here. The Spirit of God may come on you and you might start prophesying. I remember when we had the street meeting over here in Olive Branch, Mississippi. We walked out of the building in the midst of the people getting ready to go have the street meeting. And the Holy Ghost fell on Tom and he began to prophesy in the midst of the people. Right there. Nobody told him he could preach. Nobody gave him the liberty to speak. He just took it.
Amen.
Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. The Holy Ghost fell on him and you could tell it was the Holy Ghost. God doesn't ask anybody's permission to do what he wants to do. Now, he's not the author of confusion, and that didn't cause confusion. It was well in place. It showed the anointing of God. It showed that God was in what we was doing. You might be walking up the street, might be on the street corner. I mean a woman, and the Holy Ghost might fall on you. And you might start witnessing for God. And it might be the spiritual utterance of Jesus Christ. That's right. You might be with your wife, or with your husband, rather. And you might be over here in the group of a mist, or in the midst of a bunch of young people just getting a hot dog or a Coca-Cola or something. And while you're sitting there talking, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost will come on you. And you start prophesying right there in the midst of them. You don't have to say, yeah, thus saith the Lord. It might just be speaking to them under the unction and the inspiration of God, just like I'm speaking to you tonight. Prophesying. Or it might be that it might come out a little different. Like you might say, my children, God speaketh unto thee. It may come out like that. Now, you might get together like they was on the day of Pentecost. And there, as you get together, God pour out his spirit upon you. And the woman might raise up a good holy woman. And these others, they might as well sit back down when they raise up. But a good holy woman might raise up. She might be 80 years old. I don't know. But he said, your sons and daughters in the last days. That's because of grace. And in the Old Testament, you had to live right. It took many years to iron the wrinkles out. But here we are under the days of grace. And God is helping you. Your sons and daughters. He emphasized it. Your men and women prophesied in the Old Testament. He said, but he would narrow it down to your sons and daughters. A little child would know about it.
Right.
And you might stand up and prophesy. Now notice when Peter was preaching, nobody didn't jump up and prophesy. Nobody didn't jump up and say anything. I'm going to tell you something, and you might not believe it. But some of our supposedly best women that we got is in worse shape than some of our supposedly worst women that we've got. And I'm not saying this just to say it, but we've got some women that's so sure that they're favorable in the sight of God, and so sure that they have the answer, and so sure that they're so much better than the others, that they're in a terrible mess. Some of them stink in the sight of God when they get in that kind of condition. That self-righteous thing of more holy than thou. I feel their spirits when they come to church. Not one. Sometimes it's more than one or two. I feel those things in the church so they don't really have any interest in God if you keep them more than 30 minutes. Just wore out and ready to go home. So then, I'm going to close in just a few minutes. I said, well, I'll go, it's going to close now. I'm going to try to close here. I really wish I had more time on this to bring out some more confirmations and make it clearer. But a woman does have the right to praise God. I don't care whether it's in the dance. I don't care whether it's prophesying, testifying, or whatever it is. She does have a right to do it. She has a right to sing praises to God. I usually don't have young girls and young or men up here singing in quartets and all that kind of thing. Reason, because they made a ritual out of it. They got to where they draw the crowds by having the statesmen's down and the trios and different things down. And I heard then, Brother Charlie, some beautiful singing out, a young trio girl and all up there. But I'd just rather do it this way. I'd rather do it the way I feel the Bible would have it. That's right. Now, so a woman does have a right. She does have a right. She's not some dummy to sit around that can't love God and worship God. She's not under a bondage. But she should be holy. She should be pure. She should be righteous. She should be under subjection. She should be kind and she should be gentle. And she should refrain from gossip. And tail-bearing and backbiting and tattling. And she should respect, reverence, and obey her husband
and the house of God. She shall do it. And if she doesn't do it, I don't care how much she prophesies, I've got no time for her prophecy. I don't want to hear nothing she's got to say. If she don't reverence and respect her husband, obey her husband, and look after her children, and reverence God, I don't want to hear nothing she has to say. Anna was a prophetess that lived faithfully with her husband. And fasted and prayed. If you be that kind of woman, I'll listen. When God comes on you, I'll listen. That's right, folks. All this living like the devil and then coming shouting and jumping and hollering, telling me the Spirit of God's on you, I just don't believe that. I believe in grace. If you stumble, make a mistake when you're trying, that's all right. A good man falls 7 times and gets back up. But a good man dead don't go down there and waller in a hog pen every day.
Amen.
Like somebody come and told me, said, well, the ox was in the ditch. I said, did you push him in the ditch? Some folks push him in the ditch to get him out. Now, I'm going to have to stop here. I'm not near through, and I know it's going to bring a lot of questions. But I kept you so long, I didn't intend to keep you that long. But I'm going to leave it this way tonight, and maybe we'll get back to it. A woman does have a right to do something.
Yes. Amen.
She's not a slave to a man.
Amen.
She's not something a man's supposed to lead around with a ring in her nose.
Amen.
Amen. I do believe that the rod is for the fool's back. I do believe that the mule has to have his mouth held in with bit and bridle. The Bible said so. But we don't have to be a mule, do we?
Amen.
Praise God. All right, let's stand together. There's so much that I wanted to say concerning this tonight.